The Guild Life, the official podcast of Guild Launch, the premier guild hosting management system. And today we have Mike. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. How you doing?
Just kind of hanging out, trying to... I'm still actually recovering from E3, which was an amazing work event.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much work actually goes on and how much business actually goes on in E3. And I mean, it's pretty apparent, like, once you walk around there that, the reason why, I guess, it's almost a closed event. Cause, you do see all the lights and the glitz, and you do see people walking around with bags of swag. But the thing that you don't really see unless you're looking for it is all the suits walking around making all kinds of business deals.
Right.
I mean, I was eating lunch and just like listening to people going, you know, well, I'll take 100,000 units for distribution in South America. I'm like, wow. 100,000 units of what in South America?
And you know, I think that's maybe it's something that a lot of gamers don't really think about is kind of the suits doing their deals and stuff. I mean, for us, you know, the E3 is a big an announcement convention. It's what's coming out in Christmas, but you know, there's a whole lot of other things that go on there.
You know, you're right. I mean, there was a lot of announcements for a lot of the smaller games. I guess for the big games that are kind of outside the MMO space, you got announcements from Sony with, or is it? No, yeah, Sony with their new little handheld PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And then, was it Nintendo with that new Wii U? Mm-hmm. Man, that was huge over there. I mean, their little areas of setup over there are so huge that I got lost trying to figure out how to get out of, you know, one of the halls.
Wow.
I mean, you're like, where does this thing end and where does the next one begin? And, you know, it's insane.
I bet.
Did you guys experience anything, crazy, any influx of tickets or anything over Guild Launch?
You know, I think, people were mostly watching the news and, tickets and usage seemed about normal, but, you know, lots of questions for new games coming out and what sort of features we're going to have and what sort of support we'll have for them.
Well, that's cool. So let's see. While I was there, I got some interviews and I got some videos, or video interviews rather, like Sony Online Entertainment, like EverQuest, was it Justice DCUO? Mm-hmm. Terra and a couple others, World of Tanks, and I'm still editing those, so hopefully we'll get those out on the Guild Launch / podcast or guildlaunch.com/podcast site pretty soon. And then I also got some audio clips of some interviews as well. So the one I got that I think I'm going to try to play today is the one from Trion World's End of Nations MMO. It's the same company that came out with Rift. Mm-hmm. And essentially it's a MMORTS. So it's actually built by the company or a large amount of people from the company Petroglyph, which did the Command & Conquer series.
Yes.
And so it's logical that it would, you know, they would transcend into the MMO space.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm a big fan of RTS games, and so I'm looking forward to see what they do with like the persistent world and the role playing aspect, and see if they can do something, you know, really unique there.
Exactly. So, what we'll do real quick is we'll go ahead and cut to this interview, and you guys can check it out.
Hey guys, this is Mark from Guild Launch out here at E3, getting coverage for Beckett Massive Online Gamer, and today we are going to talk to some of the guys from the End of Nations MMO coming out from Trion, the guys who you may know have made a small game called Rift. So, sir, could you give us a quick intro on who you are and what you do with End of Nations?
Absolutely. My name is Chris Rubior. I'm the lead designer overseeing all of the RTS game components for End of Nations.
All right, great. And so can you give us the high-level view of what End of Nations is?
End of Nations is a massively multiplayer online RTS. Massive in scale, epic in size. This is truly a very unique experience for players.
So then what exactly is the differentiator between End of Nations and other MMOs that you've played? Or made, rather, I'm sorry.
So End of Nations, at its core, is an RTS. It focuses on RTS gameplay, but what we've done is we've taken all those great elements that make MMORPGs fun to play, such as player progression, persistence, customization, itemization, and we've wrapped that into the gameplay for a very immersive and unique experience. Basically, what we're trying to do, or what we've succeeded in doing, is pushing the RTS genre forward.
So then, why don't you tell us briefly about the world of the End of Nations world?
So End of Nations takes place about 50 years from now. The world is in political and economic decline. There's factions fighting over resources such as food, fuel, everything that you can think of. So there is a big faction, kind of NATO-esque, that comes into power called the Order of Nations. Very imperialistic. They basically tell the world, hey, we're here, we're going to help you, we're going to save you. Ultimately, they have a global agenda, which is total and utter control of the world. Fortunately for you, the player, there are other factions that, of course, don't want to be controlled by these guys, and you take on the role of one of these two factions and fight for the freedom of the world.
Okay, so for those who are not necessarily used to an MMO RTS, it looks a lot like Command and Conquer at first view, in terms of the fact that you're controlling, you know, platoon squad-sized elements of tanks and mechanized vehicles. Can you tell us a little bit about the assets and different aspects that you control in the game?
Sure. Again, at its core, End of Nations is an RTS, and you know, when you watch it, when you see the gameplay, the fluidity of combat, there are some of those elements of Command and Conquer. And as some of the guys at Petroglyph have worked on the original Command & Conquer, one of the, for us, a very...
Shocking.
Very inspiring games. So, yes, there are some elements. But, you know, it is an RTS. So you'll see that it's modern military and we flirt with some high technology, such
yes.
as EMP weaponry, microwave technology, nukes, and all sorts of fun stuff.
So basically, you're a disembodied country, is what you... or unit, and then you control the different assets kind of moving forward to take over land or to reclaim land?
You're basically this, you're one of two factions, the Liberation Front, and then our other faction, the Shadow Revolution. The Shadow Revolution's a bunch of ex-Order of Nations, basically, that have broken off, and the Liberation Front is kind of a culmination of the remnants of remaining governments that have kind of formed a coalition together, and they're basically fighting over gaining territory back from the Order of Nations.
Okay. Now, are there any of the other traditional things that people think of when they think of an MMO? Crafting, guilds, other kind of social aspects? Or is it primarily PvP or PvE-based? Oh,
absolutely. The game End of Nations itself is it's a cooperative multiplayer experience, meaning it's always online. There is a robust PvP mode. I mentioned earlier, hey, it's massive in size. What does that mean exactly?
Right.
Massive being that you can have 50-plus players in a battle. No RTS game to date has really done that.
Wow.
You can have a cooperative experience. Our game is designed around a cooperative experience that has 1-4 players. And in some cases, there are 50-plus player cooperative experiences where players team up to take on the AI or the Order of Nations as a whole. So... some of the more MMORPG elements that you'll see in the game are, you know, you'll see the persistence layer. So as you play through the game, you'll actually level up. You'll become more powerful as a commander. You'll be able to access a variety of different tech trees in the game. These tech trees unlock new super weapons, new abilities, and new units that you'll have access to.
Very cool. Now, the game looks, as logically makes sense, completely different than it did at PAX Prime last year. Obviously, it looks like it went through some polish, but... It looks almost as if it's been, rebuilt to some degree. Have you been going through closed beta or in beta right now, or are we still waiting for a closed or an open beta to come?
The game itself, we go through a lot of heavy playthrough at Petroglyph and at Tryon. We have focus tests to make sure that we're on the right track. So the game, yes, from the last time at PAX, has gone through heavy iteration. We've basically improved and streamlined the interface. We've gone through and streamlined all the factions. We We took a look at him. We made sure that we brought him in to make sense. We have two very asymmetrical factions in the game,
right,
much like RTS players would expect. So, yes, a lot of work has gone into the game in terms of polish, tweaking, balance, and just making it a great experience overall.
Well, it looks beautiful, especially with the dismounts that I'm actually looking at right now. Are there any classes, or is it really class relative to how you spec out your fighting units?
Yeah, the game, I mentioned that there are two factions in the game.
Right.
Within those two factions, there are actually classes that you can choose to pick. And those those classes actually have distinct technology specific to that class.
So. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, well, are we looking for a launcher? Are you releasing any of that kind of information here at E3? Or is this still a to-come?
We are working diligently to make a great experience for players.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Obviously, we want to engage with you again and, track with Indonations as you move forward to launch, and hopefully track after launch as well.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a great E3.
Okay, so that was the End of Nations interview. And, again, want to thank Cindy Bowens, the community manager, or the director of community management for Tryon Worlds, and also Eric Adams, who's one of the community guys working on that, who also helped me get all my interviews set up. So, pretty interesting stuff. The thing that's kind of cool is that it's, simplistic and not mind-blowing, but, gives you basically your Command & Conquer online kind of experience, but also keeps and maintains your stats and everything as well. Have you seen any pre-EON or Indonations, or EON as they like to call it, guilds already getting set up?
I haven't yet. There hasn't been a whole lot of talk for it yet either, so hopefully E3 will change that.
Right. And, it's to that point, it's interesting because I don't even think they have specifically stated a release date yet. I know that PAX Prime of last year, last September, was the first time I had seen it. And it's had a major overhaul because I thought it looked really nice back then, but it looks even smoother now. So I guess that's what time and money will do for you.
That's right.
So, I think the last time you were on, I asked you if there was any kind of updates with any of the latest patches. It's my understanding that with this latest patch, there were no, necessarily new widgets or anything, but maybe just some tweaks under the hood.
Yeah, we're always looking for site performance improvements and fixing little bugs that pop up here and there. And we're deep in planning for our next big release. One thing that has come out, I think, since the last time we spoke, was our chat room. We've officially released our own chat system.
Nice. That's something I've been wanting for a while, and I actually need to get implemented on my guild site. So you want to tell everybody how that kind of works?
Sure thing. To add it, all you need to do is go to your admin section, mm-hmm. and click on your section links tab, and you're going to want to add your navigation, your primary navigation options.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on that primary navigation page, you'll see a drop down. Just click it, and you'll see site chat. And once you're at it, you're done.
I'm actually looking at it right now. So that's pretty cool.
I'm glad one of us is.
So have you gotten good feedback from that?
We have. For now, right now, it truly is just a chat for you and your guild members. And we're looking at, adding some more features. We've gotten a lot of really good feedback from users and a lot of requests. So we've got our plate full there. And we're working hard to get that implemented.
Very cool. Wow. Let's see. Anything else major changed in the MMO space? I'm trying to think. I know a lot of people are kind of complaining that for the EA press conference, which was on Monday, the day prior to E3, that it didn't seem like Star Wars The Old Republic announced anything that people had wanted to hear. People were speculating that they were going to hear either A, a release date, or B, a beta announcement, and C, we didn't get any of that.
Right.
So people were kind of irate, and I was actually sitting there in a fourth row right behind Dr. Ray Mazika at the thing, and Dr. Greg Zuschek comes out, and I'm sitting there going, all right, well, we just saw some cool stuff on Mass Effect 3 and, you know, Battlefield, and I'm going, they've got to announce it. They've got it. And it just didn't happen, man. And I'm trying to think if there was any other kind of major letdowns. Not that we're let down with the game, but we're just kind of like, we want this game to come out now, you know?
Exactly.
I think the only other cool thing I saw was Skyrim. Mm-hmm. I got to go, because I had a press badge. So, it was pretty cool. Like I was a one-man gang carrying all my stuff, the whole entire play, everywhere. but the one thing that paid off was being press, because there's a special preview for press only. So it was pretty cool to watch, like, people who were in the industry, like, oh, can we go in here? And they're like, no. Oh, but you have a press badge? Come right on in. You know? And that game looks amazing. And I know it's not an MMO, but I'm just thinking, you know, with Bethesda and Oblivion and Elder Scrolls and, heck, they do, of course, what's that post-nuclear holocaust game? Fallout 3 and, you know, New Vegas. It's just a matter of time before they probably get into the MMO space, I would think.
Yeah, my friends and I have been begging for it since Morrowind, which is the third Elder Scrolls game.
Morrowind. Oh, that takes you back.
We played Daggerfall for months and months and months on end, and to this day, it was probably the most fun I ever had in a single-player game, and I couldn't tell you what the point of the game was. That's how awesome it was.
Well, you know, the thing is it's amazing, you know, to your point, that you can – anything that you see, you can interact with.
Yep.
And the cool thing that they said was they were taking you around, and I think it's just an extension on the world. They have, like, I guess, the little 3D free-floating camera, and you can kind of do anything. They said, see that mountain off in the distance? And we're all like, yeah, okay. You can climb that. I was like, damn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you can do anything. So E3's come and gone, got some cool videos coming out, a lot of things were announced, some things were not announced, we've got chat, yay! And I think that's really kind of it.
Well, let me ask you something about E3. Did you get a chance to play the Wii U?
I didn't, man. It was like you had to know somebody. So you know how, like, at most conventions you go to, it's like all politically correct and equality and get everyone to, like, see everything?
Mm-hmm.
Not at E3. At E3, they're like, oh, here goes the VIP section, and you're not in there. And then here goes the exhibitors, and then here goes the buyer's agents, and then here goes, like, press. So unless you're really willing to spend a long amount of time, like I'm talking like 2, 3, 4-plus hours in line, you know, you weren't going to get to do that thing, man.
Wow.
But it did look pretty BA.
Yeah, I think it's going to be neat. I'm just more curious about the controller and, like, holding it for long periods of time. It looks kind of big. So I was curious if you had a chance to, like, put your hands around it and see how it felt.
No, but you know what it looks like? It looks like an iPad with the little actuator buttons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, let's see. Any other questions about E3? I could tell you all the cool stuff.
Would you go back next year if you had the chance?
I would, but if I go back, I would definitely hope that you or somebody would go with me, because just being a one-man show, like, if I could just go there and, like, just walk around and enjoy myself, yeah, I'd go by myself. But if I'm going to go back and really try to, you know, collect information and get interviews and stuff, I would like to try to bring a crew, just because it really is a lot of work. It's one of those things, like the toughest job you ever love or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely fun, but you know, there is a whole lot of work, and I would totally be remiss if I was like, oh, it was just me and everyone else was having a great time. All the people who were press were working like, you know, slaves.
Right.
Lugging all their camera equipment around, lugging their audio equipment around. Taking copious notes, interviewing people. I mean, you saw more microphones in people's faces than, you know, anywhere else. But it was a good time, and so I want to thank obviously Guild Launch and Beckett, Massive Online Gamer, for you know, making that possible. So I wrote an article for Beckett. So I think it's in the issue 29. my article about guild management, guild leadership.
Excellent.
Page 94. No pressure. So, well, I think that probably wraps it up for this week's episode. But I think next time we will definitely try to get Gods and Heroes if we can. I know we're trying to talk with Donna Pryor right now from Heatwave Interactive. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yep, I think we're good there. We're just trying to schedule, you know, finalize times with Donna. But Gods and Heroes has their release next week, and you know, they're looking to talk about it. So,
sweet. Well, those guys are cool. The game is really interesting. My buddy of all people who is not really playing any MMOs right now is in their beta, and he is an old Gods and Heroes wannabe from like 5 years ago, back when Perpetual was working on the IP.
Mm-hmm.
And he had kept bugging me for like a year or two, and this is before like Gage of Conan, so it's what, 5 years ago now?
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of like the original Star Trek Online, because they were doing them both, they just kind of like folded like origami.
Right.
And so, Heatwave picked up the Gods and Heroes IP, and then NCSoft picked up the Star Trek Online, IP, but both of them are marching towards release, so, you know, there's something good there, at least in concept, right?
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, Mike, thanks for joining me. And everybody, thanks. If you want to get in touch with the show, just send an email to community@guildlaunch.com. And we can try to schedule to get your guild launch guild on the show, talk about you as a value-added service for either promotion or just to brag about how cool your guild is. And if there's any specific company you want us to try to reach out and try to bring on the show, then, you know, also let us know that as well. So, again, this is Mark, and signing out.
Take care, Mark, and we'll see you guys next week.
Music provided by FixedDoor.com.